I'm joined by The Guardian's Chris McGreal in Gaza. Chris, you've been out examining bomb damage today. What did you see?
There was quite a lot of it. The largest of it was that they hit the civil administration headquarters, which ironically had been built by the Israelis themselves some years ago as the occupation civil administration when Gaza was under military occupation. It was flattened by what seems to be six or eight missiles, and it was still smoldering with records scattered everywhere, a lot of paper records. So these are of births, deaths, passport applications, identification cards, which means life is going to get that little bit more difficult for a lot of people in Gaza because they won't have the paperwork they need to do the things they do in daily life. The building is completely wrecked, as was the home of a leading banker here who had been a minister in the former Fatah-run government, Fatah being the rival of Hamas. He's now the director of a bank. It's not clear why his house would have been targeted. There was nobody in it. There was a security guard, but he heard the missile coming in and ran for his life. But that would suggest that they're going after administrative and economic targets now, as well as military ones.
And there was a shell near your hotel, is that right?
There was. I think it was from one of the offshore Israeli warships, but I'm not completely sure about that. It landed across the road and a few yards down. It took out a few windows in the hotel I'm in and took out almost all the windows in the neighboring hotels. There's an open area of land, which is essentially just a plot that hasn't been built on. It's the kind of area that the Israelis would target because it may be that Hamas or other armed groups would use it to launch rockets into Israel. Although, as far as I can make out, it wasn't used for that purpose when it was hit, and it left a very large crater that's now filled with water because it seems to have also burst a water pipe right next to the buildings. And then there's another two or three further down the road, so we seem to have dropped a bunch of shells onto specific bits of open ground along the road I'm staying on.
It must have been a rough night.
Well, it wasn't until about 2 o'clock. It stopped at about 2. In previous nights, it's gone on all night, but suddenly the shelling from the warships is particularly clear. You hear a series of thuds in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you hear the shells land and explode. And then there were also Apache helicopters hovering a little bit offshore, and just a few hundred yards and up, firing into Beit Lahina, I think, Beit Lahia, which is just a kilometre or so from here. And their rockets, they make a fairly large bang as they take off, and then you have a much larger impact of the explosion.
Has there been a noticeable increase in attacks since the bus bombing in Tel Aviv?
Not that I have noticed, although the Gaza Strip's a very big area and reports can often take some time to come in. I think that the Israelis will be looking at who exactly is responsible for that, and will probably not automatically necessarily think of a retaliatory strike against Gaza when they clearly got their strikes lined up. They'll be, therefore, if they're going to add to the targets in Gaza, they'll be selecting them on the basis of what they find out about that bombing. And from my understanding, there's still some confusion and no immediate claim of responsibilities, certainly not from Hamas.
And what's been the response from Palestinians there to the bus attack?
Well, from some ordinary Palestinians, they were surprised because it's the first attack of its kind in some time on a bus in Tel Aviv. In fact, the immediate word that went round here was that it was a suicide bombing because that had been the nature of those kind of attacks on buses in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, elsewhere for many years. When they found out that it wasn't a suicide attack, it was a bomb left on the bus, that raised a lot of questions about who might be behind it. I think that generally here, many Palestinians feel that those kind of attacks are legitimate, although there are perhaps a few more questions in their mind about putting buses, bombs on buses packed with civilians. But in the present circumstances, where you have quite a lot of civilians being killed in Gaza, there's a feeling that this is quid pro quo, the legitimate form of hitting back, that Palestinian groups have to hit back as they can. There was a little bit of gunfire around when the news came in, which I think was probably celebratory, but it's not as though it's created a big groundswell of celebration at all.
Is there a sense that the bus attack makes a ground invasion more likely?
I think there's certainly a sense that it will complicate the ceasefire negotiations if it is discovered that particularly Hamas had a direct hand in it, that they were planning it whilst knowing that there was a ceasefire in the works. If it is found to be a smaller or less significant organisation, that may give the Israelis a bit more leeway in how they react to it. But certainly, there was an expectation here that it could complicate the ceasefire negotiations, and then if the ceasefire doesn't happen, there's a feeling that that would certainly make a ground invasion more likely, yes.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much.
Pleasure.